Someone once said, confession is good for the soul. Well, today is the day for confession. So fasten your seatbelts. When I was younger, I played poker with my friends. Now, we didn't play for a lot of money, but enough to make it interesting. We used to play a game called Guts. It was played with three cards, and you had to have guts to play. What was interesting about the game was if you lost a hand, you had to put in everything that was in the pot. Now, with seven or eight guys playing, the pot could build up very quickly. So if you decided to go guts, you better have a few dollars to back it up. Now, it was a great game, and we had a lot of fun. Now, before you pick up the stones, I haven't played poker since college. But I still like to watch the game every so often. And the game I like to watch is a game that has swept America over the past several years. It's called Texas No Limit Poker. It's another gutsy game. What's interesting about the game is, beside the incredible amount of money that can be won, it's exciting to watch. I love to watch how each player plays his hand, how they think, how they bet. It's definitely a game of strategy. However, the most exciting part of the game comes when two players are left. A showdown, so to speak, to see who is the better player. There comes a point in the game when the players are willing to bet all their money on one hand, when they're willing to risk everything and go all in. Isn't that what Christianity is supposed to be about? Moving all in for God, being willing to risk everything for Him? Isn't that what we committed to when we were born again, when we were given a clean slate, a new beginning? Didn't we sign on the bottom line and agree to give God our best, leaving nothing on the table? Are you all in? Have you given God your best? The scripture says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Is there any of us who is not interested in saving your life, making it rich and full? There are two attitudes in life. One attitude is save your life now, cling to it, grasp it, try to get a hold of it for yourself. See that in every situation, your first and major concern is, what's in it for me? This is the way millions of people are living today. However, the other attitude is to lose it, disregard what advantage there might be for us, and move out in total dependence upon God, no matter what may happen. There are famous passages in the Gospels where ordinary people became disciples of Jesus, and their lives were transformed. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, called four fishermen. Immediately, they left their lives behind, all that they loved, all that they labored for, and followed him. Levi, the tax collector, immediately responded to Jesus' call, abandoning his former life without a second thought. These are impressive stories. These men were willing to give up everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus expected a prompt and total response, and he got it. Martin Luther once said, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, suffers nothing, is worth nothing. Discipleship is one of those words that's used a lot today, but not everyone knows the real meaning of it. Discipleship means giving one's first loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything less is unacceptable. If Jesus is truly Lord of our lives, there's no other response but full submission to his authority and to his sovereignty. In this morning's scripture reading, great crowds were following Jesus wherever he went. They knew there was something magnetic, something exciting about him, the authority with which he taught, the power of God at work in his life. However, not everyone traveling with Jesus was there for the same reason. Some were hoping for healing. Some were hoping to be fed. Some were just political activists looking for a liberator. And some were just curious. But they considered themselves his followers, his disciples. So Jesus turns to the crowd and tells them in no uncertain terms what being his disciple involved. He explained to them the harsh reality of who he was and what they were getting themselves into. He tells them to count the cost of what they're doing before they follow him. He tells them they must value following him more than they love their parents, their spouses, their children, their brothers and sisters, and even their own possessions. He tells them if it comes to a choice, they must be prepared to choose him first. He tells them that following him must be more important even than saving their own lives. Walter Truett Anderson once said, "Our lives improve only when we take bold, outrageous chances, and the first and clearly most difficult risk is to be brutally honest with ourselves." The question is, why are we here? What is our real purpose? Are we here just to serve ourselves? And in serving ourselves, will that bring us true happiness in the end? Are we pursuing God? The greatest commandment says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do we love him that much? Do we love him enough to deny ourselves? Does our life reflect a life that is sold out to him? If not, why not? And more importantly, what has to change in our lives in order for that to happen? What if you were given two doors to choose from? Behind door number one was the complete will of God for your life. And behind the other door was how life could be according to your preference. What door would you choose? Maybe the more appropriate question is, what door have you chosen? Whose will are you living in right now, yours or God's? You see, we've taken Christianity lightly. We think it's about us, but the scriptures tell us today it's about him. You see, door number one is the key to happiness and fulfillment. Door number two, the door that's designed according to our preference, is going to eventually lead to nothing but disappointment, uncertainty, fear, and in the end, it will be empty without any real value. A month ago, I watched the U.S. Open. Because it was being played at Oakmont, they had a special tribute to Arnold Palmer. He was one of those men who have made golf what it is today. Besides telling about his accomplishments, they showed a big red barn that he had built on his property. Inside that barn was all the memorabilia that he had won and collected over the years. That barn reflected the time he had spent the majority of his life, the many hours of practice, the many days on the road playing tournament after tournament. But there was a sad part to that barn. Those trophies, those things that added a sense of accomplishment to his life, were just laying there, collecting dust, only being important to him. What barns have we built? What things have we spent so much time on that when it comes to the end of our lives will have meant nothing, having really no value at all? In this morning's scripture reading, Jesus tells the crowd two stories about people who counted the cost. He tells them, you wouldn't start building a tower unless you had the means to finish it. Also, a king wouldn't go into battle unless he knew he could win. He tells them, neither should they follow him unless they know what they're getting themselves into. He tells them, it's not an easy road. One must be willing to sacrifice even the dearest things in life. He tells them to count the cost. Have we counted the cost and figured out it's too high? Today, there's a growing division between the popular gospel, which is a seeker-friendly gospel, and the one we read in the Word of God. What is popular today is a gospel of self-fulfillment. It's a feel-good gospel, and there's no mention of sin or even the consequence of it. It's a message purposely driven to meet the felt needs of self-centered people. For example, if you want to come to Jesus, those things that are important to you will be fulfilled. And ultimately, you would be comfortable, healthy, and wealthy. So how does that relate to us? A 2005 Barna study revealed the following. 84% of adults own a DVD player. 3 out of 10 adults own a laptop computer. Half of Americans own a digital camera. 72% of adults own a cell phone. 2/3 of all households have internet access in their home. 1/3 of all households have a home theater system. And it says nothing about those who own an Xbox, an iPod, and an iPhone. So what does this say? Let's face it. We as Americans rarely deny ourselves anything. Whatever new gadget comes out, we get it. In fact, we line up before it comes out so that we're the first in line to get it. And price is usually no object. And what about other things that are important to us? Our career. Our social life. Our leisure activities. Are these things taking us from God's will for our lives? The Apostle Paul understood the cost of discipleship. He enjoyed great prominence among the Jewish elite, but forsook all for Christ. Let's hear what he had to say in Philippians to the things that were once important to him. He says, "What things that were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and have counted them as rubbish." When I was in the seminary 20 years ago, they used the word dung. Okay? And he said that I may gain Christ. And Paul goes on to say that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might be conformed unto his death. What are we holding on to, spending most of our time on, and valuing more than spending time with him and following him? When Sondra and I were at Life a few weeks ago, before the sessions began, they would flash some interesting facts on the overhead screen. One of the facts that caught my attention was how the average American spends most of their time. There are three things that were worth noting. The first one, I really never thought about. The average American spends an average of one hour a day in the bathroom. Now, if that person lives at the age of 65, over the course of a lifetime, they would have spent 3 years in the bathroom. Another interesting fact was the average American watches as much as 4 hours of TV a day. That's 28 hours a week, and by the time they reach 65, they would have spent over 9 years in front of a TV. The third fact was the most interesting and most disturbing. The average Christian spends 10 minutes a day with God, and over a lifetime, that translates to 7 months with him. So what's it say? What does it really say? Let's be honest. Do we really love God? If we would, wouldn't we spend more time with him? The kind of time that we spend with our spouses, our children, and those we love and care for. If we loved him, wouldn't we spend more time developing our relationship with his word, in our prayer time? Does he have a priority in your life? Are we really committed to him? Are we willing to pay the price to follow him? How many of us have a dog? I do. Actually, it's Saunders' dog. His name is Max. Now, Max is a great dog. Very bright, great personality, loving to the point that he attaches himself right to me. But Max likes to beg at the table. Now, because Max is my buddy, I break a lot of my own rules. However, one rule I don't break is to feed him at the table until he's done eating. Until I'm done eating. Actually, he eats my food. No. That's good. I'll have to write that in. Okay. Now I need a drink. So, Max waits patiently until I'm done, so he could get the scraps from my meal. How often do we give God the scraps from our lives. That which is left over, that which means nothing, and that which costs nothing. How often do we spend the entire day on ourselves and end up giving him absolutely nothing at the end of it? You see, our lives are to be dedicated to our Savior, and our lives should be no different than his, fully committed to fulfilling the Father's will. Jesus says we must be willing to take up our cross and follow him. You see, the cross is a symbol of death. Taking up your cross means we are willing to die for Christ if need be, rather than living for ourselves. The scripture tells us if we're willing to lose our life for Christ, then we have found it. But when we cling to our life, our rights, our wants, our desires, our ambitions, and place them all before our commitment to Christ, then we may gain all those things, but in the end, yet lose our lives. The scripture says, what has a man profited if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? You see, the gospel is about self-denial. It's about dying to oneself. Coming to Christ is not about fulfilling our biggest dreams for health and wealth. It's about being willing to lose everything because Christ is our biggest treasure. He is our all in all. This is the true gospel. It's coming to Christ on his terms, denying ourselves, bearing our cross, following him in faithful, risk-taking, lay down your life obedience. Of the remaining 11 apostles, 10 gave their lives to martyrdom. Only John lived, passing away in his 90s, but even he suffered intense persecution for his testimony. The apostle Paul was beheaded in Rome. Countless others laid down their life for Christ. They counted the cost, yet they chose to be disciples of Christ. Discipleship is not for the faint of heart. Discipleship is not for the lukewarm. Discipleship is not for fence straddlers. Discipleship is for the committed, the consecrated, and the dedicated. Discipleship is for those willing to lay down their lives for him. Are you a true disciple? Have you made the decision to follow him regardless of the cost to you? If not, choose today to give God your best. Choose today to go all in for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so often we fall short of your will for our lives, going our own way without any regard to what you would want us to do, Lord. Father, today we want to turn around and turn away from those things that are stopping us from fulfilling your will in our lives, your purpose, the things that have no real value to us. Help us to put those aside, Lord. Father, we need your strength to change. We need your strength to commit to doing those things that will make us the person you designed us to be. Father, change us so that we may be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.